Welcome to our deep dive today. We're going to be looking at building better habits and this whole global cult concept.
Oh, wow.
Two very different topics, but yeah, we'll see if we can find some connections.
Absolutely. Two very different perspectives. I'd say one's all about self-improvement,
yeah.
You know, taking control of your life, and the other is about this grand conspiracy controlling everything.
Right, exactly. And it makes you wonder, how much control do we actually have
right.
over our own lives?
Big questions.
Yeah, so maybe we can start with something practical.
Sure.
You know, like Atomic Habits by James Clear.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It really breaks down the science of how habits form. And I was really struck by his focus on small changes.
The little things, right?
Like, what if you just get 1% better every single day?
Yeah, it's the principle of compounding, right?
Exactly.
Small changes over time lead to huge results.
And it applies to so many different things.
Absolutely.
Not just habits.
Yeah, it's everywhere.
What I really liked about the book was Clear's connection between habits and identity.
Yeah.
Like, it's not just about doing things differently. It's about actually becoming a different person.
That's so powerful, right? Because every choice we make, every habit we form is like casting a vote for the kind of person we want to be.
Exactly.
It's like saying, I'm a writer, so I'm going to write every day, even if it's just for 15 minutes.
Yeah.
You're aligning your actions with the identity you
have. Aligning.
Yeah.
That's the key.
And he gives us this really practical framework.
Yeah.
The four laws of behavior change to help us build good habits.
Yeah. Instead of just listing them out, maybe we can bring them to life a bit.
Okay. Yeah.
What's a habit you're trying to build right now?
Well, I've been trying to get back into meditating regularly.
Oh, yeah. I hear that.
You know, life gets busy and it's the first thing to go.
Yeah, totally. So in that case, the first law, make it obvious, could help.
So instead of just vaguely thinking, I'll meditate today, you pick a specific time and place, like right after your first cup of coffee in your favorite chair.
Oh, I like that.
Make it a ritual.
Yeah. Clear talks about habit stacking, too.
Exactly. You're already making coffee every morning, so you just stack the meditation habit on top of that.
Okay. Makes sense.
And then the second law, make it attractive. You know, light a nice candle, play some calming music, anything to make it more appealing.
So it's not all about willpower, then.
Right. It's about setting yourself up for success.
Yeah.
Designing your environment.
What about the other two laws?
So the third one, make it easy, that could involve starting small.
Okay.
Instead of aiming for 30 minutes right away, maybe just do 5.
Okay. So start small.
Exactly. And then make it satisfying.
Right.
You know, maybe acknowledge your accomplishment in a journal or treat yourself to a piece of dark chocolate afterward.
I could get behind that.
Something to look forward to.
But what about breaking bad habits?
Oh, yeah. Good point.
Thank you.
Clear talks about these habit contracts.
Yeah.
It's about adding an immediate cost to those unwanted behaviors. Like, let's say you're trying to cut back on social media.
Yeah.
You could make a pact with a friend where you each donate to a cause you disagree with every time you slip up.
Ooh, that's interesting.
Makes that bad habit a lot less appealing.
I like that.
Right.
But, you know, he also talks about the downsides of technology.
Yeah.
It can make those bad habits way too easy to indulge in.
It's almost like we need a set of digital habits.
Right.
To manage all the tech vying for our attention.
Yeah, that's an interesting idea.
Right.
Okay, so speaking of interesting ideas, are we ready to move on to David Icke's The Answer?
Let's do it.
This one's a little bit out there, so buckle up.
Yeah, open mind.
Open mind.
Critical thinking.
Exactly.
We'll need it.
So Icke, he doesn't hold back.
No, he does not.
He paints this picture of a secret global cult that's been manipulating world events for centuries.
A very long-term plan.
Yeah, very long-term.
He's not talking about something that just popped up.
No, not at all. And he brings up things like the French Revolution, the Russian Revolution, the World Wars, even 9/11.
It's all connected in his view.
Yeah, he sees a pattern of them orchestrating chaos.
Mm-hmm.
And then offering solutions that actually just advance their agenda.
Solutions that give them more control.
Exactly. Control.
That's the key.
And he also links this cult
to
this rise of what he calls technocracy.
Yeah. The idea that technology is being used to create a more controlled and surveilled society.
Yeah. And he seems especially concerned about the power of tech companies.
Yeah.
Artificial intelligence. All the data they're collecting.
I mean, these are concerns a lot of people share, right?
Right. Like, we all see how fast technology is changing the world.
It's hard to keep up.
Yeah. And it's natural to wonder who's controlling it all and how it could be used against us.
Right. But Ick takes it a step further.
He does.
He sees things like digital currencies, social media algorithms, facial recognition as tools for a digital dictatorship.
Yeah. And of course, he connects this all back to the pandemic.
Oh, right. COVID-19.
Yeah, he claims it was manufactured.
Wow.
To bring about this new world order.
This new world order of technocratic control.
Exactly. And he sees things like lockdowns, mask mandates, vaccine passports.
Yeah.
As part of this bigger plan to condition people to accept more government control, more surveillance.
It's a slippery slope in his view.
Yeah, it is. And then there are his claims about the vaccines themselves.
Oh, boy. Yeah, that's where things get really controversial.
It does. He's talking nanotechnology, genetic modification, mind control.
Like something out of a sci-fi movie.
Right.
It's important to remember these claims aren't supported by scientific evidence.
Right, of course.
But they do tap into this fear of the unknown.
Yeah, the fear that technology could be used against us.
Exactly.
And he also spends a lot of time talking about financial manipulation.
Oh, yeah?
As a tool of the global cult.
He goes deep on that: central banks, debt-based currencies, economic crises, all designed to keep people trapped in a system that benefits the elite.
Yeah, and it resonates with people who feel like the system is rigged against them.
It's a comic sentiment.
It is. And he sees the Great Reset as like the culmination of all of this.
The final stage of the plan.
Yeah, this plan to completely overhaul everything.
And replace it with something far more controlled and centralized.
Yeah, he paints a pretty bleak picture of the future.
It's pretty dystopian. Individual freedom's gone. Privacy's non-existent.
Right, people are basically slaves to this global system run by a technocratic elite.
It's a scary thought.
It is. And it's important to remember that Ick's interpretation of the Great Reset is a very fringe perspective.
Right.
While there are legitimate concerns about technology being used for authoritarian purposes, Ick's claims go much further than that.
Yeah, he definitely takes it to another level.
He does. And I think it's worth mentioning that some of his ideas, particularly his claims about certain groups, have been criticized as being conspiratorial and potentially harmful.
It's crucial to be aware of that potential for biased and inflammatory language when exploring these kinds of theories.
Yeah, it's so important to engage with these ideas critically and not just accept them at face value.
Right. Question everything.
Exactly.
Do your own research.
Now, before we get too deep into Ick's global cult,
yeah,
I think it's good to circle back to atomic habits for a minute.
Bring it back down to earth a little.
Yeah. Something more practical and empowering.
So while the answer is all about these external forces trying to control us,
right,
atomic habits reminds us that we can shape our own lives.
Through our habit.
Through conscious habit formation, exactly.
Even in a world where it feels like so much is out of our control.
It's about taking ownership of our actions.
Cleary really emphasizes small changes, consistency making habits enjoyable.
It's about becoming the architects of our own lives.
Yeah. Brick by tiny brick.
I love that analogy.
It's interesting to consider these two books together because they present these very different perspectives on control.
One's about self-control. The other's about external control.
Yeah, but maybe they're not mutually exclusive.
Maybe the key is finding a balance.
A balance between taking responsibility for our own lives.
Yeah.
And being aware of the bigger forces at play.
It's like walking a tightrope.
Yeah.
Between self-empowerment and a healthy skepticism.
Skepticism of those external influences.
Exactly. So Ick argues that this global cult has been working in the shadows for centuries, using secret societies, financial institutions, media.
It's a long game.
Yeah, very long game.
Not something new.
No, not at all. He points to like the French and Russian revolutions, the world wars, even 9/11.
Like those are all part of their plan.
Yeah, he sees them as evidence of this cult's manipulation.
So they create chaos.
Yeah.
And then they swoop in with solutions that actually just advance their own agenda.
Solutions that give them more control.
Right. More control.
Yeah. That's always the goal.
Okay. And then he also connects this cult to the rise of technocracy.
Yeah. The idea that technology is being used to create a more controlled and surveilled society.
Right. And he's really concerned about the power of tech companies, AI, all the data they're collecting.
I mean, those are concerns a lot of people have these days, right?
Right. Like, we see how fast technology is changing.
It's kind of scary how fast it's all happening.
Yeah. And it makes you wonder who's really in control of it all.
Right. And how it could be used against us.
Exactly. But Ick takes it a step further.
Oh, yeah, he does.
He sees things like digital currencies, social media algorithms, facial recognition.
All part of this digital dictatorship he talks about.
Right?
It's a pretty bleak vision.
It is. And of course, he ties it all back to the pandemic.
COVID-19, right?
Yeah, he says it was manufactured.
Wow.
To usher in this new world order of control.
This technocratic control he keeps talking about.
Right. And he sees things like lockdowns, mask mandates, vaccine passports is all part of this bigger plan.
It's all connected in his view.
Yeah. It's all about conditioning people to accept more government control, more surveillance.
It's a slippery slope, he argues.
Yeah. And then there are his claims about the vaccines themselves.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That's where things get really out there.
He talks about nanotechnology, genetic modification, even mind control.
Like, seriously, it sounds like a sci-fi movie.
Right.
But again, it's important to remember that these claims aren't backed up by science.
Of course. Sorry.
But they do play on these fears people have.
The fear of the unknown.
Yeah, and the fear that technology could be used against us.
Right. And he also spends a lot of time talking about financial manipulation as a tool of the global cult.
Oh, he goes deep on that. Central banks, debt-based currencies, economic crises, all designed to keep people trapped.
Trapped in a system that only benefits the elite.
Exactly. And it's a message that resonates with a lot of people.
People who feel like this system is rigged against them.
Yeah, it's a common sentiment.
It is. And Ick sees the Great Reset as the culmination of all of this.
The final stage of their plan.
Yeah, like this plan to completely overhaul the existing order.
To replace it with something much more controlled and centralized.
Right. He paints a pretty bleak picture of the future.
It's dystopian. You know, individual freedom's gone. Privacy's non-existent.
Yeah, people are basically slaves to this global system run by a technocratic elite.
It's a scary thought, for sure.
It is, and it's important to remember that this is a very fringe perspective.
Right.
While there are legitimate concerns about technology and authoritarianism, Ick's claims go much further.
He takes it to a whole other level.
He does, and I think it's worth mentioning that some of his ideas, especially his claims about certain groups, have been criticized as being conspiratorial and potentially harmful.
It's really important to be aware of that potential for bias,
right,
and inflammatory language.
Yeah, we need to engage with these ideas critically.
Absolutely.
And not just accept them at face value.
Right. Do your own research. Question everything.
Exactly. Now, before we get too lost in Ick's global cult.
Yeah, good idea.
I think it's good to circle back to Atomic Habits for a minute.
Bring it back down to earth a little.
Yeah, something a bit more practical and empowering.
So while the answer is all about these external forces trying to control us,
right?
Atomic Habits reminds us that we have the power to shape our own lives.
Through our habits.
Through conscious habit formation, exactly.
Even when it feels like so much is outside of our control.
It's about taking ownership.
Yeah, taking ownership of our actions.
Exactly. And CLEAR emphasizes small changes, consistency, making those habits enjoyable.
It's about becoming the architects of our own lives.
I love that.
Brick by brick.
Yeah, little by little.
It's interesting to think about these two books side by side.
Yeah.
Because they offer such different perspectives on control.
One's about self-control. The other's about external control.
But maybe they're not mutually exclusive.
Maybe it's about finding a balance.
A balance between taking responsibility for our own lives,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and being aware of the bigger forces that are at play.
It's like walking a tightrope,
yeah,
between self-empowerment and healthy skepticism.
Skepticism of those external influences.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's like we're always being pulled in these two different directions.
Right. On one hand, we have this potential to shape our lives through our choices, our habits.
Our own agency.
But then on the other hand, we're aware of these systems, these structures.
Yeah.
That can feel really overwhelming.
Even manipulative.
Yeah, manipulative.
So how do we reconcile that desire for self-mastery?
Right.
With this understanding that we don't exist in a vacuum.
Right, like we can choose how we respond to things.
Yeah.
But the options themselves,
yeah,
are often shaped by things outside of our control.
It's a tricky balance.
Yeah, it is. And I think Ick's work, while definitely controversial, does remind us to be careful about the information we consume.
To question the narratives we accept as truth.
Yeah, like we need to develop this internal filter.
A BS detector.
Yeah, a BS detector.
To question everything.
Especially the things that seem obvious.
The common knowledge.
Right.
Now, Ick takes this to an extreme
Beatrice.
With this global cult and these supernatural entities.
Right. But we could still apply that principle of critical thinking.
To every area of our lives.
Absolutely. We need to be aware of the ways we're being influenced.
My advertising algorithm.
Political rhetoric, even the news.
It's all designed to shape our perceptions.
Yeah, it's like we have to become detectives.
Information detectives.
Looking for clues, patterns, biases.
Exactly. And then there's this whole other layer that Ick brings up.
Right.
Consciousness.
And its role in shaping reality.
He suggests that our thoughts, beliefs, emotions actually have an impact on the world around us.
Which in a way connects back to atomic habits.
Well, yeah, totally.
Clear talks about how our habits shape our identity.
Mm-hmm.
And Ick suggests that our consciousness shapes our reality.
It's fascinating how they both highlight the power of the mind.
Right. But Ick takes it further with this idea of mind control.
Yeah, he believes this global cult uses techniques to manipulate us.
Propaganda, fear-mongering, repetition of messages.
All tools of control, in his view.
And it makes you wonder how much of what we think and believe and do is really our own.
Versus the result of external programming.
Right, and that's where Ick's concept of awakening comes in.
Waking up from the matrix.
And yeah, breaking free.
But how do we actually do that?
Right, he doesn't give us a lot of concrete answers.
No, but he does emphasize critical thinking, questioning authority, connecting with ourselves.
And that resonates with the self-awareness that Clear talks about.
Yeah, understanding our own thoughts, patterns, motivations.
So we can make conscious choices.
Instead of being driven by unconscious impulses.
So maybe the key to dealing with all this?
All these external influences, all this potential manipulation.
Is to find that balance.
Balance between self-awareness and critical thinking.
And that willingness to question everything.
It's about taking responsibility for our own minds and our actions.
But also being aware of those forces that might be trying to influence us.
It's not about living in fear.
Right.
It's about being informed, discerning, empowered.
Yeah. So as we wrap up this deep dive.
Yeah.
What does it all mean for you?
For you, the listener.
Maybe it's a call to examine your own beliefs.
Your sources of information.
The habits that are shaping your life.
Are you making conscious choices?
Or are you being led down a path?
A path you don't even realize you're on.
It's something to think about as you navigate this crazy world.
It is food for thought.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for joining us on this deep dive.
Yeah, thanks for listening.